Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, beautiful. Hello, welcome. Hi. Shalom Shabbat.
Shabbat Shalom.
Welcome to yet another week of your favorite podcast. My name is Josh DeVetta. I've got Asabi Goodman here to my left. And ladies and gentlemen, and our non-binary pals in between, we have a great special guest tonight. A special guest that could also possibly be
a permanent guest.
Can we please welcome to the stage the amazing Gracie Mack? Now, Gracie Mack,
oh, wow,
now
that was abrupt.
That was an abrupt finish, actually.
They liked me, and then they were done.
Yeah, exactly. Our audience, they'll either like you or they won't. We've discovered that over the weeks, which is hilarious. Now, Gracie Mack, tell us a bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Who are you at home?
Been catching up on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's been
most of my life in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Which sounds like a joke, but
no, it's
like,
not.
Up
it's not
season 6, episode 3.
Yeah, Buffy ain't no joke.
Yeah, Buffy ain't no joke. That's right. Well, I'm a musician. I sing and I play piano.
Yes, she does. Yes. Beautifully,
well.
By the way.
Yes.
Asabi and I have both gigged with Grace.
Yeah, so, we've all I've been duos with both of you.
Yes,
yeah,
it's
pretty cool. And yeah, I guess that's how I know you guys from the music scene.
Yes,
so big here in Brisbane.
Yes, absolutely. A local icon, if you wish.
Yes.
We like talking about music, and so when we were going through our, I guess, our Rolodex and going, who else do you think would love to talk about music with us? Asabi was like, I have the perfect person. Her name happens to be Gracie Mack. And I was like, hello, I know Gracie Mack. Let's get onto this, which is really, really exciting. So actually, just out of curiosity, Gracie, what do you think about our podcast? Have you listened to our podcast yet?
I have listened to it. Yes? I mean, it's just like, is this me? Is this my interview?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I have listened to it. I'm a big podcaster in terms of listening.
Yeah,
I consume a lot.
All right.
Mostly true crime, because that seems to be
amazing.
My demographic.
Well,
and
we
I've seen so many hurtful memes that are like, if you're a white woman, then you're gonna be into this, and it's awful because it's true.
Oh my gosh. Well, we do have a fellow podcast under the TNC banner. What is it called? Murder in the Land of Oz.
Yeah,
That's a true crime podcast.
Mm.
And they're like one of the number one podcasts for this company, actually.
Yeah,
they're really, really good.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is amazing. Well, that's so good to know. Well, we have full faith that Grace is going to be an amazing host with us, fellow shuffologist.
Yay, welcome to the lab.
Now, you studied music as well, didn't you, Grace?
I did. I went to the Jazz Music Institute.
I know those peeps. Yeah.
And in Bowen Hill.
Lovely. All right. So she's also got a piece of paper that proves that she knows some things. At least 10 things.
Yeah. I can get booked for any gig.
Oh.
Because I've got a piece of paper that's in a drawer.
Exactly. Well, I booked you because I just needed you. That was it. No, Grace is a very, very versatile piano player. That's why I like playing with her as well. Well, you know what? We're going to talk about music. I didn't know if you're listening in the past 3 minutes of our intro, you know that we love to talk about music. And this week, our theme is... The audience is always off cue. But
they are.
So last week we talked about girl bands. This week we're going to talk about
boy bands. Yay.
Exciting. Now, I personally grew up in like the ultimate era of boy bands.
Was it though?
Well, in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a couple of really, really big.
There was a bunch of really big ones in the 80s as well.
They were, but they're not the Backstreet Boys. But I'm just
And the Backstreet Boys do not have the same number of sales as the 90s bands, but whatever.
Whatever, whatever. But but also, no, no, no. There's also early 90s boy bands. There's 80s boy. We're going to go. We're going to take it right back to this. We're going to take it right back even probably to the 60s and 50s, to be quite honest.
Yes.
So if this is a genre, it's not really a genre of music. If this is a movement of music that you love just as much as I do, then please keep on listening.
Hey there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. It's Matt Young, and I want you to listen to the Story Chunder podcast. It's based on the live event where Brisbane storytellers tell true and sometimes embarrassing stories from their lives for the delight and approval of a live audience. So listen in to the Story Chunder podcast. I'll see you at the Chunder.
And welcome back. Thank you, sponsored ad. So, well, you know what? I was thinking that we could probably switch over to Grace. I would love everyone to get to know Gracie, actually, with her choices. So, as we know, we all have a theme. And within that theme, the three of us pick five songs each to add to a playlist. Don't forget, this playlist is available for you to listen at the end of the show. Well, actually, it's available as soon as we drop the show. So you can listen to the playlist first if you wanted to, actually, which is really, really cool. And yeah, so we're going to get straight into it because, you know, our podcasts are getting longer and longer because we're getting more excited about the music.
Just start talking.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, well, Gracie.
That drummer was late to the game.
Yeah.
okay, well, I am also from this same era of ultimate boy bands, although not according to Wasabi. But
you babies.
But there's so many that I, when I was researching this,
yes,
that I picked purely out of nostalgia for the most part. And then, like, picked the band and then, like, found maybe my favorite one out of
Perfect.
It. So I'm going to come straight out the gate with five.
Oh!
Spelt with a five.
Yes.
In the F, Pioneers.
All about marketing. Marketing.
And the track is Slam Dunk the Funk. Sorry, I'm Slam Dunk Da Funk.
Right.
In brackets,
yes.
Da Funk, obviously.
Very interesting choice.
That was way too middle cast.
Very interesting choice.
Now, this is a band I am unfamiliar with.
Really?
Oh, my God. You're missing out.
Can I give you a snippet of another one of their songs?
Okay.
Baby, when the lights go out, everything you said, you don't know. You've never heard.
That was like their biggest hit.
That was their biggest hit. That and I'll Keep On Moving was their other one. No, they're from the UK, aren't they?
I cannot confirm or deny.
Okay, I can
confirm. Look at that part of the Wikipedia.
No, they are from the UK. They're a UK boy band. Yeah.
See, well, there were a number of UK boy bands that were never big in America, so I probably
that's true. They didn't
know
quite
them.
Crack the air. Yeah. That's true.
So, yeah. Well, they only had two albums.
Oh, okay.
At all, and they're actually still going, but there's only three of them.
So they,
there was five, and they were called five, but now there's just three.
Do they still
are
tour
they called
as
three,
five?
It's like pretty sad. Like, I mean, you know, if they're like, hey, what's up, guys? If you're listening, but it's but there's only three members left, and they still call themselves five because I don't know.
Oh my god! Actually, you know what? When S Club tours, S Club 7, if they've only got four people, they're called S Club 4.
Do they really?
Yeah, if they only got three people, they're called S Club 3.
Really?
If they've got five people, they're just called
I mean,
S Club.
You don't want to confuse the audience.
Because S Club 5 does not flow off the tongue like S Club 3.
No, it does not. I actually went and saw them at one of those like nostalgia festivals where it's like 90s, like, yeah, nostalgia acts. And it was really odd to see just three people on the stage.
That's so weird. Yeah.
And why do you like this song?
It comes, the beginning of this song, and if I can take you back to this group in 1998, it goes...
take us back, Grace.
Yeah, it goes, five, what you waiting for? If you want a three, two, one, let's do it. That's how the song starts. Now,
very
when I
cool.
heard that as an eight-year-old in 1998, I lost my shit. I was into it. And I was like, that is so clever, the countdown. Not sure if that's the inspiration for Beyonce's countdown, but it's very similar vibe.
Oh, yes, they are inspired.
I also
a lot of
love
culture.
That they go, five, what you're waiting for, if you want two, and then they just run out of things to say, so they just go three, two, one. Like, they don't.
Oh, right.
They don't continue.
They probably thought they were so witty just going five, what you're waiting for.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's all
and
they
then
needed.
They stopped. They peaked.
Yeah. They just one goes three and everyone else goes three. Like, they just like do a call and respond.
Because that's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for three.
Yeah, exactly. So I remember loving it as a kid, and so I thought I'd pop it in there.
That is a great choice.
I can't wait
I love
to hear
five.
That. That sounds
they
good.
Had the same producers as the Spice Girls starting out.
What's their names? Rich something, and we just talked about last week.
We did, and I can't remember.
Now that I'm old, my memory is just not good.
They were a duo, so they had like a name, didn't they? So like it was the two of them.
Yeah, it was like production team.
Yeah, then the production
team. But then Simon Cowell signed them just after that, and so the five were part of Simon Cowell's troupe boy bands. Yeah.
Well, Simon Cowell's had huge success with boy bands, actually. Absolutely, yeah. We'll probably be talking about a couple of those boy bands tonight.
Well, there's a couple in there. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that is also first straight off the bat, you know, out the gate. That's a great first choice, Grace.
Thank you.
Well done. Well done.
Actually, in fact, the audience love you. Now, can we get to your second choice, please?
We can. My second choice is a cover. This is another one that I chose because I remember hearing it and thinking it was a banger. I would no longer feel that way if I was me now listening to it.
We love growth.
If I was. We love growth. Growth is really important. And I'm glad I've grown beyond Uptown Girl Westlife.
Oh my God.
So good. And I knew it was a cover, but I never really listened to the Billy Joel version that much. And I went back to listen today, just like brushing up. And I was like, I wonder what they did differently. They did nothing differently.
No.
The arrangement is exactly the same, but there's more dudes singing it.
And that was that's actually a big thing to do in the British pop charts is to do a cover of another artist
and to do it exactly the same.
Yeah, do it exactly the same. We talked about that last week with the Saturdays doing When Love Takes Over.
Yes.
And it sounds nearly exactly it sounds like they're doing karaoke. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. But like everything, the vocal layering, like everything is the same.
Oh my God. So maybe they only had maybe Billy Joel only let them do a certain few things.
He probably just said,
no, you can't cover it unless it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Now, is this a nostalgia choice for you, Grace?
It is nostalgic. Yes. Yeah, I remember hearing it. And it came out, what have I got, from their 2000 album, Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast.
Actually, I think I had a So Fresh album that was like hits of 2000, like summer. And I'm pretty sure that song was on my So Fresh CD.
Yeah. Nice. It was just everywhere. I just remember hearing it all the time. Well, and so really ingrained in my childhood.
Oh my, and one of the former band members was engaged to Dr. Goodrum Brian McFadden. He was with
I know that.
There was a whole drama about that because she was a homewrecker and all. I remember seeing all this tabloid about it.
And so, but I think like some people thought that she was like just trying to do it to try and crack the UK. So it was like one of those like power relationships.
You
like,
had to crack the UK. She was on Neighbours.
Well, that's what I thought. But yeah, it's one of those things where like I think it was like a relationship that was supposed to be like this power couple.
Yeah.
Like, you know, white Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Oh my God.
Sort of thing. But yeah. Okay, cool. So we've done Slam Dunk Da Funk.
Slam Dunk Da Funk.
Yeah. Yes, Uptown Girl.
Uptown Girl. Also, just quick side, Westlife was also Simon Cowell's. Signed by Simon Cowell. Mm-hmm. He
like had the lockdown on boy bands. Hey?
Yes.
Yeah, he really did. Mm. And then was he One Direction as well? Yeah.
He was One Direction as well. Yes. Mm-hmm. So on the UK X Factor, there's always another guy there called Louis Tomlin. Oh no, not Tomlin. His name's Louis something, and he's like Simon Cowell's best friend, and he also managed a lot of the boy bands and girl bands in the UK as well. Fun fact for you. Well,
there you go.
I love that. So we've done UK groups. So far, we've got Five, we've got Westlife, you know, all that jazz. what's your next choice?
My third one isn't a classic. It's Mbop.
Oh no!
Say that again.
It's Mbop.
No,
I've never heard that.
Do you know,
song.
They're from my hometown.
Are they?
Yeah, my brother used to play with them.
If I could give you a rendition of it.
I don't know the lyrics still to this day.
No, I gotta say, I wrote on my notes here that I believe this is totally unresearched and I haven't fact checked it at all, but I believe it is the most well known song that no one knows the lyrics to. Like, I don't know single person that knows the words to that.
Those are the words.
I know the verses.
Can you tell me?
No, the verse is actually really deep. Like, it's about heartbreak. I'm pretty sure the song is about heartbreak.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
No, okay. Well, okay.
I don't know. Well, I guess we'll
you know. I'm gonna Google these lyrics right now. Hold on.
While he does that, I'll tell you that. Tell us about. As I'm sure you all know, Hanson is three brothers.
Yes,
Isaac, Taylor, and Zach.
Mm-hmm. I was Taylor, Team Taylor.
And the song initially started as like a background part for another song. They were like, I like that little bop thing as like a kind of doo woppy style vocal as a background, and it just kind of stuck. Mm. And they decided that it would be a great hook because it just got stuck in their heads.
They were also really young when they
got
signed.
They were very young.
They were prodigy family group.
I think the drummer was like 10 or something. They were babies.
Watching the video clip, they're baby faces.
Really, really young.
But I went to high school with their cousin. And I rode the bus with him.
Oh, look, another Asabi story about how she knows famous people.
Oh. Well, it's a cousin, come on.
Yeah, it's just a cousin. I didn't actually know them. I think my brother knew them, but I didn't know them because I had moved to California by the time they were, you know, walking.
You were being an actress in California.
Yes, exactly. I was gone.
Bye, hometown. I'm off to the big city. Yes. But so just because we were talking about the lyrics of Umba. I'm just going to read out a couple of sonnets for you.
A dramatic prose, great.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, you have so many relationships in this life, only one or two will last. Sounds like a fortune cookie. You go through all the pain and strife, then you turn your back and they're gone so fast. This is really deep, guys. So hold on to the ones who really care. In the end, they'll be the ones that are there.
I'm pretty sure that that's all like drowned out by some drumming.
And when you get old and start losing your hair, can you tell me?
But it's in Who like will a still tiny care? Little voice. It's like, it's in that cutesy little. Yeah.
But guys, isn't that so deep?
It's very deep.
It's very deep.
It's beautiful.
For lyrics.
And then they just really tie it all together with the chorus.
And then they tie it. And then, yeah, so can you tell me who will still care? Oh, care. Mbop. Ba-do-ba-dup. Ba-da-ba-dup. Mbop. All right? Like, I'd love to get a lyric translation of that, but yeah. So it actually in the because I remember reading like a BuzzFeed article or something about how they're like Hanson's. You would never think that Hanson's Mbop is actually a really deep song,
sort of thing. That's not the bit that's just shame.
Exactly, exactly.
But it made them a lot of money, and
They made other people a lot of money as well. I remember in primary school, like the girls in our they were obsessed with Hanson. Actually, one of my university lecturers who has a PhD in pop music and did her thesis on the breakdown of Pet Sounds of the Beach Boys. That was her thesis.
Wow.
Breaking down the entire album. She is like an avid Hanson fan still to this day. Her name's JD. Shout out to JD. And she will still go and see them to this day as adults.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because they're still like they have a comeback.
In the early 2000s they had a comeback and they had another one at the end of the
decade.
And
everyone was like, "You're old now. This is really strange."
Yes.
One of them was super hot. One of them was Taylor. Like all cut and
Taylor. I'm telling you.
And then one of them looked
yeah, but also they're
living a hard life.
Yeah, they're also super religious family as well, so they don't believe in contraception. That's why they have so many children.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's like if you got if you got all their children and families together, they look like a Texan cult. Like I got 75 children. Like
that's you know, it's so funny because I grew up in the same place as them, and you know, look at me. Really awesome and cool, and then them. No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm pretty sure they're like more. I think I'm pretty sure they're Mormon or something.
I don't know.
That would fit the look, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
One of those Mormons.
They might
know.
Be. I didn't know many Mormons in Tulsa, but it's possible.
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, that is. I love that we went on a full Hanson tangent.
That was a big
amazing.
Let's come back. Let's
come back. Bring it back. That was an awesome choice.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's your next one?
My number four. It's a bit on the nose because it's like an and situation. It's a boy band and Mariah Carey.
Now, what song by Boys Turner Mariah Carey could you possibly be thinking of?
Possibly, I think. It's One Sweet Day.
And I know.
So great. I gotta say, man, it was fun researching this to just re-listen to all these songs.
Yes.
So this song held at the time of its number one hitness. Mm-hmm. It held the record for that for 23 years.
It
for
sure
the longest time running.
Wow. I'm still mad about it being
16 weeks at number one. Who broke it?
That Old Town Road song, Lil Nas.
Can't believe,
I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road.
So that was like last year or 2 years ago.
That was last year that the record got broken.
Wow.
So it was leveled in 2016 with Despacito, Louis Fonsi, and Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And then thankfully Taylor Swift brought out a song and then she went number one straight away. Taylor saved the record. As Gracie said, it was unbroken for 23 years.
Yeah,
and also it was 16 weeks in number one when it was just pure album sales and radio airplay. There was no streaming involved.
Yeah, wow. Nothing at all. Yeah.
You know, and I find it amazing that what broke the record.
I know, that's it's strange. It sometimes just, that just happens. Like, just
well,
just
that,
kinda
that but
in.
That's also just like a snapshot of what's happening in the industry because it was actually streaming that brought That really took it there. Mm. Also, he brought out 6 remixes of that song as well.
So, so what happened? Like, you know, when you just buy a single and it was just like the actual song, single. But then the radio edit, and then like the rap edition, and there was like 7
or the smooth
edits.
Vocals, edits. Yeah.
And there's an instrumental,
yes. And also with One Sweet, I'm interjecting because I just know this.
You're all over it, exactly.
But with also with One Sweet Day, so when they were writing it, they were actually because Mariah was already writing one song, and she was writing about a friend of hers that had died from AIDS,
and they were also
oh my god, and
no,
they,
not totally, but yes, and they I should have known. Bring up Mariah,
and the lead is it Sean or which one was writing another song because their road manager had passed away, and so they had already been writing their own songs. And when they came together for their songwriting session, apparently the songs actually sounded really, really similar before they even saw each other. And so they actually recorded it all that day. And then Mariah was like, because they were such a huge boy band at the time, she was like, if we don't film this now, we're not going to have a video for this song. So that's why it's recorded in the Hit Factory in New York.
Yeah, exactly. And because I was reading that their schedules were just never going to line up. Yep. So they're like, all right, we'll just use that footage.
Well, they were 2 of the biggest acts in the world at that point.
Yeah,
too,
Yeah, I mean, those are my notes. But it did. I'll add one little tidbit.
Yes, please do.
The song came out in 1996, the following year it was played at Princess Diana's memorial service in 1997.
Really?
Because sure, I mean, the whole thing matches it perfectly. It's about death and super, and a lot of sadness, missing the ones that you love. It was ranked on the Billboard charts as number 9 best charting single of the 1990s.
Nice.
I believe it.
It was a hot chart.
Well, I remember I was home after school one day, and we would always in Australia we watched the ABC kids like on Channel 2. That was, we just called it Channel 2.
Yeah.
And had the after school programs, and in between one of the shows I didn't know the song, but I remember seeing the music video and being just like, oh, because I was only like 7 years old at the time, and I was just going, oh, that's a nice song, like, but I really liked it. And then it wasn't until like 10 years later that I was like, oh, it was that song I was watching, like, kind of thing. When I was like really educating myself on music, it also got nominated for Song of the Year at the Grammys a year later. But Alanis Morissette sweeped up that year with Jagged Little Pill. So Mariah was nominated for like all categories, and she won 0 Grammys that night because of Jagged Little Pill.
Jagged Little Pill was pretty big.
So different, though. So that's like
Two contrasting sounds. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, number 5.
Yes.
My final selection. I went all the way back to arguably Granddaddy Style. Granddaddy's of, not Granddaddy Style, whole different thing. Granddaddy's of boy bands. Yes. The Jackson 5, baby.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
Thank you, audience. Finally.
We got Jackie. We got Tito. We got Jermaine, Marlon, and Michael.
Yes.
Nice. And it was their first national single, I Want You Back.
Oh, so cute.
So good. I mean, I could have picked so many.
The bass line for that.
It's just, it's so epic. And being covered by so many people, as it should, because it's just such a fun, awesome feeling song.
Mm-hmm.
It was followed by... they had that as a number one hit, and then the next 3 songs were all number ones. They just like smashed it out of the park. They had ABC, they had I'll Be There. What was the third one? Have a look at my notes. The Love You Save. All 3 just like were number ones straight away. So they had 4 number ones, their first 4 hits.
It's amazing.
Super cool.
They're iconic.
They were iconic and very still one of the most captivating stories of a family in history.
Yeah.
What was it also? Because Michael was the youngest, yeah.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah, and he was. Yeah, he obviously had the star power.
I know. Even at like the age of 5, you see him up there dancing. You're like, damn.
I know. Just yeah, so amazing. Like, it's so impressive. I think of me at 5, it was like. Actually, I think at 5, I ran into a rusty nail. It like went straight into my head because I was like being this little like rat bag kid running around a store.
Yeah.
Oh
Mom was
gosh.
Like, just calm down. And I
could
was
see
like,
you
what?
On
and
stage.
Went straight into that was me.
Are they a part of the Berry Gordy movement as
they
well?
Are. Yes. They are. Yes. They are because and that song. I Want You Back was really started the corporation of Berry Gordy production team and the 3 writers that wrote that song.
Right.
And that was like the beginning of like, because Motown Records had lost their like big writing team, because that writing team wanted more monies and they were like, nah. And so they were really taking a hit and they didn't really know where to go. And then they had this hit song and it just like spurred on.
It wasn't the Holland Dozier Holland.
That was the first team, that had just left.
HDH. Yeah. Because they did songs for the Supremes and everything.
They did, yes.
Yeah, they were killer. Like, they were absolutely, like... Yeah.
And they're, like, I think, like, 10 of the Supremes' number one hits were written by them.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, they were pretty...
So the new ones, they were Perrin, Mazelle, Richards, those are songwriters. And Gordy, like, is the production part of that.
The money.
The money.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's still alive, Barry Gordy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Is he? Wow.
Yeah.
He's had a good, he's been touched by an angel and it's worked in his favor. I will say.
And Diana Ross.
Diana Ross. Yeah, exactly.
Reach out and. Sorry.
Quick fun fact about I Want You Back. It was originally called I Want to Be Free and written for Gladys Knight and the Pips. I don't know who they are.
Don't
are you
some
kidding?
People. No, I don't.
Gladys.
All right, don't shame me. Okay. This is a safe space.
No, it is a safe space. Every other guest host always has, like, because Asaba and I will both have this one, like, you don't know who that is? So Gladys Knight had a really, really great song.
Midnight Train to Georgia.
Oh, okay. I do know that. Never mind. Wow. I texties backsies. Okay. But she, yeah, was originally written for her. And then Barry Gordy heard it and he was like, I think this would be really great for the Jackson 5. Dana Ross has just brought me these people. And I think it'd be awesome. And so they reworked it to this love story that this tween could sing.
About a girl that he never, ever knew was around until somebody else started dating
her.
What a jerk.
Yes. I mean, what's a song without trying to steal someone else's boyfriend or girlfriend?
Right?
I mean,
exactly.
That doesn't sound like it'll sell records. Lies.
Number one.
Well, you know what, Gracie? For someone who had their first week on the Chefology podcast, that is a killer.
Thank you so
opening
much.
Five yes. songs for boy bands.
Okay,
I know that I can't wait to listen to these songs. Well, we're going to have a few more choices soon. So after this break, we're going to hear what Asabi chose.
Can a song just objectively be bad?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we can't learn from it. I'm Alex Smith.
And I'm James Keogh.
And on our new podcast, My Songs Suck, we talk to writers and musicians who share with us some of their earlier, less good content and reflect on how far they've come.
If you want to get in on the fun, head to That's Not Canon Productions or find us on iTunes, Google Play, or whatever podcatcher you use.
My Songs Suck, because everyone makes mistakes.
Just make sure you record them.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hello, welcome back. So, Gracie Mac of the artist Gracie Mac.
Yes.
So at this point, we talk to Asabi.
Okay, yes. You know, I'm onto it. Asabi. Yes.
Hi, Gracie.
Hello. So nice to see you. You're looking
too.
Warm.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I've got my little beanie.
You're in a plush beanie, yes.
Yes, because I was
too lazy to do my hair.
That's fine. I mean, no one can see us.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
We can see each other. I guess we can judge each other. I thought this was filmed.
Yeah. Oh.
I thought this was a Big Brother style situation.
Yeah.
You're never leaving.
You cannot leave until you've recorded 20 podcasts tonight.
Tonight. Yes. Anyway.
So tell me.
Yes.
You've got a list of songs.
I have a list of songs.
What do you got on that list?
Well, like you, my songs are also evoking nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Although the very first song, so I'm doing them in chronological order because I don't know why. For some reason, that just feels good.
Yeah.
My first song is not a nostalgic song. It's a song that I learned a few years ago so I do a lot of weddings, and the bride and groom requested that we sing this song at their wedding. I'd never heard it before and I was blown away. It's called Beggin' by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Hey.
Yes.
I love this song. So it's from 1967 and it's one of their first songs. It's got strings. It's got a kick-ass bass line.
Yeah.
So this amazing piano riff. Hand claps. Everybody knows I love hand claps. I feel that it was really ahead of its time for when it was written, 1967.
Yep. Mm.
And it was super big in the Northern Soul scene in the UK in the 70s. So it's had a lot of life. It's been covered and used in ads. I think Adidas has used it in one of their ads, and some group called MadCon remade it in 2007, and it gave it a whole new life again.
Right. Mm, okay.
Yeah, so they redid the song, and they added some rap verse to it as well. I haven't heard it, so I don't know how cool that would be, but I love the song itself, so I think it'd be really good.
Yeah.
This song sold over 100 million, or sorry, they, the Four Seasons, sold over 100 million records throughout their career. And, you know, Frankie Valli still tours. He's the only member of the band that still tours and performs. Yeah. Mm. So,
did you ever see that musical, Jersey Boys?
I never saw Jersey Boys.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw it in the UK, actually. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty exciting to learn that history, which I didn't really know much at the time. That was like 6 or so years ago. Mm. It was out. Yeah.
Yeah. And the song is in the musical, Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
Jersey Boys has been here too.
Yeah.
I think I saw it.
Brisbane a few times.
Yeah, I think I saw it 2014, 2013.
Yeah, and I want to say it was here like a couple of years ago as well. Or maybe last year it was touring. It's constantly touring.
One of my friends is in a Frankie Valli tribute show. That was touring last year.
Yes, there was a Frankie Valli tribute show.
I do remember when I saw the musical, I learnt the term phoned it in.
Oh, really?
Yes. I learnt that term. I was like, I don't know, I was like 20 or something.
That's what I do sometimes.
I learnt that term because I was telling, I was like, dude, what do you think of the ladies? Like, yeah, I kind of phoned it in.
Yeah.
Which was accurate.
Can we define for the audience what phoned
it
in means?
Okay, so phoned it in means that you just kind of do a half-assed job. You're not really paying attention. You just do the minimum that you need to do to get the job done.
Right, so my entire career. Okay, right.
Cool. You're marking it for the dancers in the audience. You're just marking you're it. You're just marking. You're not committed. You're just doing the bare minimum.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I'm that kind of rehearser. So I'm a phoned in rehearser. Yes. And then directors, music producers, whatever, they get so frustrated because like, we want you to do this. And then it's not because I don't know, it's something about like waiting until like the actual I probably just thrive off the drama of it to be quite
well, some people really need that drive to be like, this is now or never.
Yeah, exactly.
So probably, we could probably mentally unpack that as well, but I'll say that for my therapist.
It's another podcast.
Yeah. So this song was ranked number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100 in its heyday. And on a Sabi scale of singability, I give it an 8.
Oh, wow. That's a high score.
Nice.
You know, as a matter of fact, a lot of the songs, I think every single one of them is an 8 on my scale tonight because they're all male songs.
Great. Yeah, but high male singability.
Yeah, and some of them are high, but then some of them, because I'm a mezzo soprano, some of them sit right in my range to a degree. Some of them are a little too low, which is why none of them are 10s because I just like I can sing some of it, but then I can't go as low as some of the songs require.
Can I question as a newbie about your scale of singability? Is that just for your own voice?
Yes.
Or are you like broadening to the world? Singability,
it's
8.
For me mainly. For you, yeah.
And it's not based on just the music.
It's not just based on the music. It's also based on like how I feel, what memories it evokes.
Yeah, you're like want to sing it.
Yes, exactly. Because I mean, there's a lot of really good songs, but I'm like, that's going to be a 3 because it's not something I really want to sing. Mm. And then there's songs that I'm like, oh my God, that song is amazing. But it's like a 0 because I'm like, I have no idea what they're saying. I can't even make my mouth move that way.
Right.
So,
great.
So that's
my first song. What's your number 2?
Okay. So now my next one, the next 3 songs. So in last week we talked about this new jack swing sound. So my next 3 choices all come from that new jack swing sound.
Lazy.
So the first one is If It Isn't Love by New Edition. Yeah, you're both looking at me like, who?
I'm trying to recall what it sounds like. I've definitely heard
it. If it isn't love, why do I feel this way? Why does she stay on my mind? This is probably my
I was just jamming because I just love to hear you sing.
Yeah,
this
you guys have no idea.
Yeah.
This is my favorite New Edition song, and I'd chosen a couple of other ones that I wanted to talk about, and then this one popped up on the playlist and I was like, oh my God, yes, I remember this song, Instant Love. This one is from 1988 from their album Heartbreak, so it was their 5th album.
Right.
So New Edition was formed in 1978 by Maurice Starr, again a hit maker of boy bands. And this song, it's New Edition is very much 1980s. Like everything, you know, you think of the parachute pants, the guy walking down the street with the boombox on his shoulder, you know, the weird, the Jerry curls, all of that, like the big hair and crazy colors. completely synthesized sounds. You've got the drum machine. I love, like, they were really big on harmonies. So these bands could sing, these boy bands, they could all
sing. Did they,
sing.
With New Edition, did they write their own songs or did they have songwriters?
I don't think they wrote their songs. No, that's not true. I think they wrote some of their songs and they wrote with teams as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were iconic. They were kind of like, they were formed in 1978. So they were kind of like the answer to the Jacksons, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like, let's do another thing similar to this. Yeah. Yeah. And they were huge. They had like huge success throughout the 1980s. And so they're sort of related to this next group. Because they were this next group was also started by Maurice Starr. It's New Kids on the Block.
Hey.
Yes, and so you guys all know New Kids on the Block.
Sure,
right?
Confirm we know that.
Yes, because yes. Anyway, so Maurice Starr, who created New Edition, also created New Kids on the Block to be the white equivalent, because this is America and this is what we do.
Yes.
So New Edition was extremely popular. And it was, you know, we're still sort of navigating this black-white sort of...
post-segregation.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah. So, and it's not that long after, like, you know, my high school wasn't desegregated until 1974.
That's insane.
So, yeah, right? Yeah.
Holy
so, this is, we're still kind of having, you know, like MTV only plays black music at night, you know, because they don't want to freak out the Midwest. So, Maurice thought he'd just... split with New Edition, and he thought, well, let's make a white band that's going to be similar. Enter New Kids on the Block. And so my song for New Kids, and I loved New Kids on the Block. Everybody did. They were huge. They were huge. Yeah. So The Right Stuff.
Hey.
You remember that song? The Right Stuff. And as I was watching the video, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. And I looked at how they tried to emulate New Edition, like with their look, the dance moves, but it still didn't have that same soul. But it was great. It was good. It was a little bit slower, not as up tempo. It was still fun and enjoyable and poppy. It was really poppy and just kind of like easy to listen to. This song hit number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. It was number 1 in Oz and the UK, number 2 in New Zealand.
Come on, Scott.
Because New Zealand knew that Bobby Brown needed to be on top.
Yes.
and fun fact, there's a Spanish version called Auténtica, which was number 11 in Spain. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Like a different group doing the Spanish version, or did they record it in bad Spanish?
You know, it didn't say. It didn't like when I was looking it up, it didn't say whether or not it was re-recorded by them or recorded by another group. It was probably recorded by Menudo. Who knows?
Yeah, probably.
but that brings me to my next song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is by a little group called Belle Biv DeVoe.
Hey.
Do you know that one?
Belle Biv DeVoe.
And they are a splinter from New Edition. So they were all in New Edition, the three of them.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so New Edition sort of got wet like a gremlin and spawned out. And Johnny Gill.
I always wonder what happened to that female gremlin.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
What was she about?
Yeah. I don't know. It was really, she was the only one. She was like Smurfette, right? Gremlin Smurfette.
But obviously the one that's procreating the gremlins.
Well, no, they all procreate. You just get them wet.
I'm just going to stop there.
When you put water on a gremlin, it multiplies.
All I heard was procreate and wet. That's the three words that I heard.
Welcome to the biology part of Shapology.
It's all science. That's all science.
No, so New Edition, when it sort of split up in the late 80s, early 90s, it spawned Belle Biv DeVoe, Bobby Brown, and Johnny Gill. So they were all from New Edition.
Oh, yes.
So that's,
this is pre L.A. Reid and Babyface.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So this is Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam.
Oh, come on, right? Janet Jackson.
That's right. So all that that new Jack Swing. So
yes.
Belle Biv DeVoe is also New Jack Swing, which is like a mix of pop, hip hop, R&B. They use lots of drum machines, harmonies, because New Edition was known for their singing. So you know, very good singing. So Belle Biv DeVoe, like you listen to Poison. So the song, sorry, is Poison.
Yes, great song.
Yeah,
and it's not really, there is a rap verse in the middle, but it's all sung.
Yeah,
it's a, you know, they sing and there's lots of harmonies. And my favorite part of the song is where they say, "Never trust a big butt and a smile." I think that's great. So good.
That's why I still can't trust the subject to this day.
Right?
She's got it going on. She's got it going on.
The badonkadonk. Yeah. So this, you know, these bands sort of took America by storm. Yeah. So this song was certified platinum. And I mean, if you listen to it, it kind of is like a precursor to Thong Song, right? And
can we talk about that song soon?
We're talking about what did we say? Like Thong Song had won something at a Grammy.
I'll tell you exactly what the Thong Song did.
Yeah.
Actually, Gracie and I
performed
this song before. Yeah.
It's stripped back version.
Yes, it's part of my my thing. You know, as a.
It's so good, and he like riffs really hard on the word thong. So good.
I still got the video of that. I'll have to give it to you on time. Is the Thong Song won the Grammy at the 99 Grammy Awards for Best R&B Male Vocal.
Yes.
Wow.
And and here's the thing now, controversial.
An you could totally understand what he's saying.
Exactly. Yeah. But also the
Let
thong
me
song.
See that thong, 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 thong.
But the production of that song is next level.
It
actually is like the foreground to how, like, here we go. Josh is going for the tangent. What was going
to
go on to
our sound effect for that?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Tangent. It's just it's just like birds whistling, and how like that era really informed the next part of R&B for the 2000s. Yes. Absolutely.
Because yeah, right.
It's actually a very well produced song. It's just a song that's bullshit.
Yeah. Like, exactly. The lyrics. Sense, yeah. Are like, what?
All that dress is scandalous.
Yes.
Oh, they never can't handle it. She's shaking that thing. Like, who's the ish with the look in the eyes? So devilish.
Yes.
Groundbreaking lyrics. She likes to dance at the hip hop spots, but she
the
moves.
The best bit was the video clip where he just lined up chicks lying down. Yeah. The just pointed at what he saw.
Right before.
Just, like, he's an artist. Yeah. He draws from what he sees.
Right before he does cartwheels on the beach. I saw Cisco last year.
Did you?
And when the Thong Song came on,
Did he have anything else? Like, what else?
Yeah, no, he has one song that was bigger than the Thong Song.
No.
It's called Cherish, I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up because he was like, did you know, because he obviously said the Thong Song for the last song and he actually said halfway through his set, he goes, "Do you guys know that I've got one song that was more successful than the Thong Song?" And we were like, "No." And he was like, "It's this song," and he sang it. It was amazing. Like, okay, Cisco is actually a very
good
singer.
He's a good singer. He's a very good singer.
He's really good. Okay, so let's not talk about Cisco anymore.
All right,
go back to
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wait.
Back from the segue.
How did we get to that segue?
Because I was about to explain how Poison hit number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Amazing.
Of course.
Given, you know, the subject
that
matter.
That girl is poison.
Yes, never trust a big butt and a smile. And America loved it. New Zealand loved it. Australia let it sit at 64. I don't know what y'all were thinking.
Australia makes some poor
Wait,
choices.
What year did it come out? What year did it come out?
Sorry?
Poison?
It came out in 1990.
So in 1990, we'll probably still listen to John Farnham.
Oh, and that's still true today.
Yeah. Yes.
That's exactly.
Whispering Jack. Whispering Jack is probably still number 1.
I'm sure there's another farewell tour coming up. Anywho.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
so,
I had a laugh
question.
Question.
Yes. I just want to bring it back.
Yes.
Let's so those
down.
Three, I'm very impressed by the fluidity of those three choices.
Yes.
What is the timeline of that? Is it they just like straight after each other, like they just form the next one and then form the next one, or is there a couple of years in between?
So New Edition, like I said, from 78 to about 90-ish.
But Bobby Brown and
New Kids
left
on
the
Block
then, right?
was 1988. Yeah. So that's when Maurice broke with New Edition.
Right.
And then Belle Biv DeVoe was 1990. So right around the time that New Edition split up. So yeah, they're all kind of back to back. What was I doing at that time? I was in middle school hanging out in Japan doing crazy stuff, you know.
There needs to be a podcast just about Asabi's stories. Like, you need your own podcast, girl.
It's like, what were you doing in Japan? Eating octopus. Yeah, no, anyway. And this brings us to my last song, actually, my final song, which is just following that timeline 1 year. This is probably the only time I ever listened to boy bands, I think, is really what happened.
It's a good era to be listening to boy bands.
It's fantastic. These are like... oh, amazing songs. So my last song is a group that Grace has already mentioned, Boys to Men.
Yes,
Motown Philly.
Oh, love it.
Motown Philly was Boys to Men's first hit. It's their debut song back in 1991 off their Coolie High Harmony album. Mm-hmm. Again, these boys are just masters of a cappella and harmony and
that's
singing.
So amazing.
This song, like... the breakdown in the middle of the song is an a cappella doom 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 da up doom 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 da up da ya 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 up, and it's just like it's so much fun. It's just a fun song to hear and to sing along to. Again, with that new jack swing sound, this hit 3 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Amazing.
It's like a mix of R&B and doo wop. It was written by Michael Bevins from Belle Biv DeVoe. So, and he has you know, so they're all kind of like, they actually give a shout out when they say Boys to Men, ABC, BBD, that's the East Coast family. So that's all of them.
Yes.
Right. So another Bad Creation, Belle Biv DeVoe, Boys to Men. They spent 50 cumulative weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. So they're fourth behind Elvis, the Beatles, and Mariah.
Oh, who? Yep. So say that one more time.
Mariah.
Yes.
That's my favorite
break.
Button.
Queen of the
90s. Same. It's a great one. So those are, and again, like all of these songs were number 8 on Asabi's scale of singability. Like they're, and if I had a dance, if I had a scale of danceability, they'd be number 10s.
Oh, that should be another scale.
Scale of danceability because you, like, I was literally, every single one of these that popped up, I was like, oh my God, yes. And my housemate's like, what are you doing? What are you listening to? And then she started dancing. We just had a little dance party this afternoon. It was so good.
Oh, I gotta say, One Sweet Day, just to bring it back to that. That dance ability is, it's 10, but it's like a sad
It's a slow dance.
Oh,
it's like alone
and
you're with a bottle of wine and the bottle of wine is your partner and you're just swaying.
And I do have some honorable mentions
please give us some honorable mentions.
So
please.
End of the Road.
Oh, yes.
Boys to Men, which was a couple of years before One Sweet Day. That was my high school graduation song.
94?
Yes.
Such a good song.
Oh, I got it right.
Yes. And like that was our song that like we went around singing that song all.
That's so good. Oh. Our graduation song was that graduation
was
song.
What, Vitamin C?
Yeah, it was so lame. So
as
lame.
We go
and it's
on.
Like, and they did that for every year for like 20 years.
Oh my God.
That's so much better.
I love Vitamin
C too,
better. But not that song.
Can I tell you my graduation song?
You sure can.
What is it?
It was Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Oh, that's pretty good.
The Sister Act 2 version.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. That's not a...
Of course, I led that choir. I had to
did.
So I was full Sister Mary Clarence. I had to teach my year the song, harmonies, and also was the lead singer of the song as well.
Get it? Is there video?
Pardon?
Is there video? I want to see this.
I do have a graduation DVD somewhere. It's probably my parents' archival antique road show collection.
Yes.
Sort of thing.
Do you push in anyone's stomach and make them sing amazingly? Because if you didn't, are you really?
You know what? I probably did do something along those lines.
That's so good.
God.
That's my favorite part,
Sister Mary Robert. No, I think I did something along those lines of like a voice lesson in between, like in between teaching this. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Isn't that hilarious?
So good.
Painful.
I had big balls back
so
then.
So that's one honorable mention. Yes. My other one. So a couple of New Edition songs, Mr. Telephone Man.
Oh, good
choice. Now you'll have to listen to the. I'll post these on the Facebook page because they're just the sound coming out of Ralph Tresvant's voice mouth is so baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so like it's just cutesy, and I forgot that that's what he sounded like. I mean, this is the early 80s. Cool It Now is another one.
Great one.
New Edition.
New Edition.
Love it. Feels Good, Tony. Love that song. And that's another 10 on the scale of danceability.
Oh, not the singability, the danceability.
Yeah, danceability. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, no. Like, they're all 8s on the scale of singability.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they're all 8s. But yeah, 10s on danceability scale.
Lovely.
That's it for me.
Amazing.
Love it. So yes.
That was a great list.
Thank you.
And it was very, I feel like mine was all over the shop, and yours was so good.
Well, anyway, they were all very close together.
That's for apart from the. Yeah. I should share that outside of the podcast.
This is, I got
to be together
space.
To the audience.
Gracie, this is a safe space. You
Thank
can do whatever you,
you
like.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break now that you've heard mine and Gracie's choices, and then we're going to come back to hear what Josh has to say.
So what mountain were the stones in the walls of this specific monastery mined from exactly?
Where can my character take a dump?
What's the governmental structure of every town in this entire
Which
continent?
Magic using class is like the most attractive?
How do these people know how to make tunnels under their town when all they do is farm?
Why does the genie always
weird?
Refuse to make people fall in love with me? Like,
if
who hurt
poison
him?
Rules are the same for every player race, does that mean they all have
can
the
my
same
character
digestive
have a pet?
System?
Ooh, can that pet have a pet?
Are your players asking too many questions? Do you really know how your world works? Don't you wish there was a podcast that made this whole thing easier? Come on over to Dungeon Deep Dive, your favourite fantasy world-building podcast. Whether it's tabletop RPGs or creative writing, we do the research so you don't have to. Find us on your podcatcher of choice or on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram on @DungeonDeepDive.
Welcome back. I was just enjoying the music. You're listening to Shuffology. My name is Asabi, and I'm here with the wonderful Josh DeVetta and our new Shuffologist, Gracie Mack. Abrupt cheers here. And today we are talking about boy bands.
Love it.
So we've just heard from myself and Gracie, and now we'd love to hear, Josh, what you have to say about boy bands.
I have lots to say about boy bands.
Yes.
Now, we all know that I love girl bands, and we've already determined that I have my doctorate in girl bands.
Yeah, that's correct.
So if anything, I probably am still doing my... still writing my thesis when it comes to my boy band's choices. So we're not as qualified. Lots of information, but still not as qualified. Now, what I've done is I haven't done anything that's chronological. I've just gone, these are my favorite songs, let's go for it, sort
Do
of
it.
Thing. First off the bat, I guess I'll start off chronologically in the sense of this will be the oldest song in my list. I don't know if you've heard about a little group called The Temptations.
Hey, what?
Just a little something.
Yes.
That old
chestnut. And they had an amazing, and I would call it an iconic song, actually, called My Girl.
Yes.
Now, this is all part of that Motown, Berry Gordy movement that was happening where, you know, they were really trying to sell, black culture to white people, but dress them up and make them just like diamond superstars.
Still trying to do that.
Yeah. It's funny how times have not changed, but they have and they haven't. That's a different podcast. But with that. And so this was their first number one single. Which is amazing. And don't forget that back then, to get a number one single as a black group is a huge thing.
Huge
like you're
thing.
Breaking ground.
It's
We've
massive.
Talked about LaBelle when they went number one just for 1 week with Lady Marmalade. Mm. That would have been huge. They would have celebrated that every day, 7 days.
Yeah,
they would have celebrated.
Popping.
Yeah, every day. because of segregation and how we had different radio stations. We still do have different radio stations now, but disc jockeys, like you really had to like really convince them to play this music on the air and everything like that. And this was a song that was co-written by Smokey Robinson, who basically wrote and co-wrote nearly the whole Motown movement.
Yes, he did.
Along with HDH and what's the other group that Dinah, we were just talking about them before.
The Corporation.
The Corporation, that's the one. And so with that, this song has been covered 3 million times. Also, if you're in a corporate weddings band or anything like that, events,
you are singing this song.
In fact, if you don't sing this song, the agent is taking 30% retainer and not 10.
I've only had to sing the song once, and it was just recently.
Really?
Yes, I've never been asked to sing the song. As a matter of fact, when we were learning it, we were like, why? But I have sung it it like Adelaide Fringe and other places. All like
those
that,
kind of things.
Yeah. I've played a lot of places. Like in the one of the bands I play in, I was on the string solo on the instrumental part, and my iPad died as I was meant to be reading it, and I was like, "Oh, do I know this off by heart? No." Oh and gosh. So it was just like this very poor man's attempt at like do 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 do. Just like slow. It was so bad, so bad. But they didn't care. They were really drunk.
Yeah.
But, and then we found out that Barry Gordy just happened to be at that event that night.
Grace has been cancelled by Motown.
And that song came out in 64, by the way, with that song. And like for me, you know, I love songs that are musically enticing to my, you know, the harmonies are beautiful. The arrangement is beautiful.
So lovely,
you know, it really was. I actually compare this to the way that the Supremes had their sound, where it just was lightened up. You know, you wouldn't think that you were listening to four like soulful black men, you know, in that way. Yes. You know, they really, it's a well articulated song. I just think that even just the way that they come into the verse is just so beautiful.
It's a beautiful
I've
song.
Got sunshine. Like just so. Whoa, on a cloudy day. Like that's really, really stunning to me personally. Yes. So that's so that's my first choice.
Beautiful.
And,
beautiful.
Now I wanted to move up just a couple of years, specifically to 1994. Now I call these people the direct POC competition to Boys to Men.
Oh, okay.
And they are a group called All for One. And they had
I remember these guys.
They basically were more like a I guess they had like a couple of Latino people in this group and a black guy and and so it was like another multicultural group.
They were the Black Eyed Peas.
Exactly. Except Fergie was not. They didn't have anybody doing a jazz, sexy version of National Anthem.
Black Eyed Peas didn't have a woman in the beginning.
Yeah.
But okay.
Early Black Eyed Peas stuff is amazing. It was real.
Yeah,
social.
Very good. Pre-Fergie.
Yeah, pre-Fergie.
Fergie was the second woman that they had. Too.
Yes. Yeah. And they have a totally different girl now as well. The Black Eyed Peas played at this festival, the R&B Fridays festival
recently.
Last year, just in November. This is Janet Jackson was the headliner.
Yes.
And they were on just before Janet, and they had this girl that they found in like the villages of the Philippines.
As you do.
And I'm like, they don't need Fergie.
Yeah.
Now, Fergie for that group in the mid-2000s was the perfect person. Just that strong, sexy female girl. Yeah. But they don't need her anymore.
No.
It's all good. No. And anyway, so back to All for One.
Sorry, segue.
So they covered, and this is actually one of the quintessential wedding songs called I Swear.
Yes.
I swear.
So did they also do Sukiyaki?
By the moon in the stars in the sky. And they had another great song called I Can Love You Like That. I can't. Really, really stunning.
To be every boy in the boy band.
Yes. If you see my a cappella videos, I was just trying to do all of it once. Just
like, do it all.
So really, really great. I'm pretty sure just this, sorry, I'm just going to quickly check my facts, is it's All for One's cover was a number one hit in numerous countries. So
yes.
It was originally this country, it was actually a country song. We've actually had a lot of that where it was a country song first and became like a huge pop hit. We've had a lot of those in our podcast.
We have.
And this was number one, like I think it was in the top 10 in Australia. Like it was, and as I said, it became a quintessential wedding song.
Yes.
Just like Because You Loved Me, Celine Dion.
Yes.
From This Moment On, Shania Twain. Like there's those like quintessential, like you just go, oh, this is my seventh wedding I've sat in and I've sat through the exact same song.
Mm-hmm.
Walking down the aisle. Anyway, so that's my second choice. I just think they're great. Really, really great. I can't wait for it to be on the playlist, actually. I'm really, really excited. Yeah.
Nice.
Which is really, really cool.
And, you know, they're all from Mojave, California, which I used to do projects for the Air Force Base out there. So
great. Another sub story that just, like, shits all over my story.
The story is like, I paid to go to a festival.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I paid
with thousands of other people.
I paid VIP price to scream at Janet Jackson. Amazing.
Was that video of you? Was that a Janet Jackson? Remember that video when you're just losing your shit?
Oh.
It's so adorable to watch.
So, story time with Uncle Josh.
Story time.
I had no idea I was being filmed.
I know, it's so great.
And
so
I'm
great.
There in the crowd. I was actually quite close to the front too.
Yes.
And Janet's like, she's got like a spoken word thing happening. Like, this is a story about control.
It's so epic.
Except like that. Anyway, and I didn't know where she was coming from. And so all I'm doing, you see, I'm just going.
He's like if he was to do a full body swoon, but still be awake. Wait. That's what it was. Yeah. The entire time he was like, it's so sweet.
And then
it's
finally, so when I realized where she was coming from, I screamed. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And then we went. My friend that went with me, we went to Dumplings after. She goes, "Hey, watch this," and she brings her phone over, and I'm watching it, going, "No
oh
idea."
My God, that's like, what I looked like.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny.
Oh, actually, I was my makeup was beat to death actually, so I wasn't too mad about it. But it was just like, oh, that's probably the most genuine thing that's been on the internet of me ever. Actually,
amazing.
It's
really
so
cool.
Real, like watching like the love for this pop
star.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I'm like, because I've never seen Janet before in my life till that point. So I was, which is really cool. I know that you saw her back in
the Control tour.
Exactly.
Or the Rhythm Nation. Sorry, I saw the Rhythm Nation tour.
See, that's just insane. That's amazing.
It was epic. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, that's totally.
I've got a third choice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you, it's because I apparently have to contribute music to this playlist. Yeah.
At least five.
Yeah, at least five. So with this, this is another country song that, so there must be something about country songs that get given to boy bands.
Or
to,
just black people.
Or, yeah, oh, that's true. So if you remember a guy called Nick Lachey,
who was married
to Jessica Simpson for a bit, he was in a boy band called 98 Degrees.
Yes.
Now, their quintessential song is a song called I Do Cherish You.
Yes.
And it goes, I do cherish you to the death of the... Yeah, whatever. It's another, this is also another quintessential wedding song as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So schmaltzy.
It is schmaltzy. Yeah. This is like rom-com. Like, actually,
it's so just dripping in like just disgusting love.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, this is from a rom-com, this song. It's in Notting Hill.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yes. So with that, yeah. So a country song that turned into a pop cover. 98 Degrees actually got a number one hit with Mariah Carey in the year 2000.
Really?
From her Rainbow album, she had a song called "Thank God I Found You."
Oh yeah.
And it featured 98 Degrees and Joe. That was the whole thing. So so they needed Mariah to get number one. That's another story altogether. which is cool. So why do I love this song? Because nostalgia. So I think the common theme for us probably choosing these songs has been nostalgia.
Yeah,
because boy band culture is, it goes through its cycles.
Yes.
It'll be really hot for a minute or for a couple of years and then it dies. And then it takes another manager to be brave enough to put another boy band into the world, similar to girl bands essentially, which leads really, really well into my next two choices because they're kind of, they really, really work in tandem with each other. So I put into the playlist a song called Everybody, brackets, Backstreet's Back. I tell you
rock
what,
your body.
When I first heard on the radio the word sexual, I was like, oh!
It's so freeing singing that as a 12-year-old.
Yes.
Everything you need, it's so,
but his attack on the of sexual is just brings it in.
It is.
Let's talk about the Backstreet Boys.
Let's talk about the Backstreet Boys.
I mean, there's the hot one, there's the funny one.
And now,
the kind of bad boy.
Now, everyone that I knew loved Nick Carter. Like, he was
he was the baby.
He was the baby.
He was like
12. Yeah.
Well, no,
14,
when he first went into boy, like, back when they were unsigned, etc. Yeah. And what's the one? Because one of them has actually got like a paralysis in his throat now and he can't sing properly.
Brian.
He actually had to sign to be his legal guardian for a lot of the trips.
Oh, Brian was my favorite.
Yeah. And then AJ as well.
AJ's
AJ's the bad boy. And he had like, you know, the porn like stash sort of thing.
The goatee thing.
Yeah. We're just called now this song, Everybody, Backstreet's Back, is a moment in pop culture. Now, in the sense of we are introduced to the sound of Max Martin, who was a huge producer of this particular sound. Also did stuff for Britney Spears. Like, he wrote Hit Me Baby One More Time. Like, this is pre-Britney. So, because
It's only just, though.
97. So about a year and a half before Baby One More Time came out. So with that, because you wouldn't think this, but the album for this only came out in 98 as well.
Okay, I was about to say, because I had just come back from Japan.
I always hit the microphone every episode. Like, it's just tradition.
Don't do it. I remember when I'd just come back from Japan and I had never heard of the Backstreet Boys or Britney Spears. And everybody was like, you need to hear this shit. What's going on right now? And I was like, why are children taking over the airwaves?
Yeah. but it was all down to this producer, Max Martin, who's from Sweden, and bringing out this new sound that was basically just going to inform what was going to go on for the next couple of years, actually. Yeah. Now, Backstreet Boys actually are very talented. They were a harmonizing group. But then once it was okay that they had this look and this charisma, they went from harmonizing group to juggernaut pop stars, sort of thing. This particular song, it was the third single from their debut album, and it was this like really like we hadn't heard pop music like this yet, where we had this like really deep synth-based riff sort of thing. And the music video was all inspired by Thriller as well. So they really, really just referenced Thriller and put it into this music video. Like, I still love the dancing mummies. The vamp, like coming out of the vampire coffin, like, oh, I'm there. sort of thing. They also, like, went... So that was... And then when they had their follow-up album, Millennium, that was the next level, like with Larger Than Life and Show Me the Meaning of Being Lonely. I Want It That Way. It was just.
I think I own both of those albums, actually.
I believe it because I think everyone had it, and it was all. And I remember if you harken back in time to the very first episode we ever recorded, because I talked about the Backstreet Boys back then. We hadn't seen this merchandising before girls lining up for kilometers down the street outside a CD store just to get the new album or the new single, like this. Like whole like new level of Beatlemania, so to speak, that was like just take like girls are just like, because that's what it was marketed. It was purely marketed to teenage girls, basically,
and young adult women,
And their hormones. It was marketed towards their hormones, just like we talked about with girl bands, where there was something for everybody in the group. You know, I like Nick because he's cute. Or I like Aja because he's a bad boy, and like all these different things, and just they were managed by this guy called Lou Pearlman.
Now,
the Lou Pearlman story, I suggest anyone that's listening to the podcast to go on YouTube and watch this documentary, because it is fascinating how this like airplane carrier guy from like Midwest of America was responsible for this pop culture phenom, because he then ended up signing another group called NSYNC, which is my fifth choice. And the song is called Bye Bye Bye.
Oh, love it.
Isn't it just?
It is. What is it? Just hit me with the truth. That's the one. Another Max Martin production.
Yes.
Was it? But it ain't no lie, baby. Bye bye bye
bye bye.
Yes. Oh, that was really good, guys. I forget that we can all sing. Yes.
Thank you.
Sort of thing. And just, again, as I said, so what was really, really interesting is that any songs that the Backstreet Boys declined, Lou Pearlman gave them to NSYNC.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Really?
So yeah. Oh, sloppy seconds.
Exactly. Now, NSYNC is responsible for Justin Timberlake.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, another guy called Wade
Robson.
He choreographed for the group.
Yeah.
But they also had another guy. Oh, what's his name? He ended up. He was in the closet. Then he came out. What's his name? He's really country. I'll have to think about it. I forget. I'm just having a blank because I'm just like so boy bandy right now. in that sense. And anyway, they were there to compete with the Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
Basically, because they were so huge, and Lou Pearlman was like, how am I going to get another group that's going to be this motivated to try and be as successful as this group?
But he was managing both of them.
He was managing both of them, and he would create lies. Like, did you hear that the Backstreet Boys said this about you? Oh, then he go to the Backstreet Boys. Did you hear that NSYNC said this about you? And started this fake rivalry between the groups.
It's like having putting your children against each other.
Well, that's exactly what he wanted to do, because he wanted them to be so focused on being number one that he wanted to create lies between his own acts.
That's
and as I said, so any songs that the Backstreet Boys said no to, NSYNC would take that they would go number one.
Yeah,
they would turn down gigs because they were getting overbooked. He'd give those gigs to NSYNC, and then they'd get this huge coverage. like wow. television coverage, things like that. Mm. Incredible. When it came down, so they had been touring for the better part of 2 years. Mm. Now, when it came down, they had barely seen a cent in their bank account, mm. basically just their allowance that they were allowed to be given. So they were like, and then apparently they were, Lou Pearlman was going to give them like their big like check reveal. You know, this is all the money you've been earning, and everyone's like, oh, like it's got to be at least $10 million, like sort yeah. of thing.
$1,000.
Yeah. Not far. So really? he presented the checks like in a plate with you know like the old school
oh, yes,
like
yes.
where you like lift the lid
yes
and it was a check for $10,000 each.
That's wow. messed up.
I can't believe yeah. that he presented like that as well, like just totally gaslighting them yeah, into he, thinking he that that's yeah, a lot of money
absolutely.
For them.
Mm, absolutely, mm, and good. just as really so yeah, watch the documentary, but also like. Wow. When you look at like that merchandise pop culture boy band thing, mm. like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC at the beginning of the next millennium were it. Like yeah, that was yeah. like there was no bigger
no, like
bigger groups
yeah.
at the mm. time. I remember almost. I remember when No Strings Attached came out, which is NSYNC's album.
Yes, yes.
Like I remember just like going, "Mom, I really, really want this album." She was like, "Why?" "Because I just want it." like, I know other reason. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, we weren't allowed to listen to secular music at the time, so begging my mum for right. a secular album was just right. like so, like you know, such rebellious behavior, sort of thing. And so, I guess like we're talking about nostalgia. I'm talking like when I think about this snapshot in time, like 97 to 2001, like it's a frozen moment in time to me because we've seen some of it with like One Direction and BTS these days where
yeah.
they've definitely had this success. But it's not that it's not this palpable thing because we don't see like we don't go to a CD shop and see a big cutout of NSYNC and
yeah
like,
that's right
like that was all part of the mania mm. of it all. Now it's all just social media, which is fine mm. but yeah, but like I just think that, and also like Bye 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 is a really well written pop song.
Yeah, it's very
like
good.
From the musicianship to the hook of the vocals to
the
way that it's sung
is so
yeah like exactly yeah. right yeah. and also
and them dance moves
mm-hmm. yes
and they all
puppetry, so good.
And also labels don't invest in groups and develop them anymore. They want them to be like ready to go as soon as you
yeah.
sign them.
Exactly.
So, but and so they actually had like pop star boot camp and boy band boot camp, mm. and they would be like, you know, what we call it the Beyonce exercise, where you're on the treadmill and you have to sing while you're on the treadmill.
I used to do that.
All
that,
so that you yes. have your breath control, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so, like, you know, this is not just so this was about like presenting this image that this was a really successful multi-million-dollar boy band when really they were just getting $10,000.
Yes,
like,
that's
at
right.
The end.
At the end. Yes. At the end. Exactly.
After
it. Exactly.
All that hard work.
And you can, and you look at their looks, they got the exact same looks.
Yeah.
They got the, like, when millennium, like, even though, like, they had different, like, colors, like, the whole five band thing and, like, having them all stand in a set, like, exactly
yeah,
the
yeah,
same,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know?
They mirrored each other.
NSYNC had some great other songs as well, like, It's Gonna Be Me and, yeah. oh, what's that one? Oh. I'm having a blank again, but and also like and they would win all the Teen Choice Awards and mm. the Nickelodeon Awards and the
yeah,
Music
yeah,
Video
yeah.
Awards, yes, like yes. the VMAs, all that kind of stuff, because their demographic was just so specific.
Yeah.
Because they found like you know these people found power in teeny bopping. We used to remember the word teeny bopper.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Yes. And but like these girls are convincing their parents to spend their money
yes.
on
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Like it's really, really interesting in that way. I've got a couple of honorable mentions,
yes,
if you don't
please.
Mind.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now I have Boys to Men as well with On Bended Knee. If you it's a really, really stunning song. Are we,
yes, it's
yes.
a great song. Song.
Also Rule the World by Take That. Take That is Robbie Williams'
yes,
original boy band.
I was questioning whether I'd use Take yes. That or not, but yeah.
Because the UK yeah. again always has that's boy it. Bands. They had another boy band called Blue, and they had that mm. song called All Rise. One for the money and the
yeah.
free ride, it's two for the lie that you denied. All Rise. So that's how I learned lawyerism, obviously.
Right, okay.
That and How to Get Away with Murder with Viola Davis.
Love that show.
Also the Jonas Brothers, Burning Up. So that was a song. Yeah. They actually performed it with Stevie Wonder back in the Grammys in 2009. It's a really good moment. Also, The Village People.
Yes.
With YMCA, is like they're definitely a boy band.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So
yes.
The Village People were so important because back then people were so scared to be themselves that they thought, oh, we had to have these like really masculine stereotypes, like a fireman.
Yes. I remember reading about that.
And tradesmen, all that kind of stuff. And the yeah. Village People flipped it and made it camp as hell.
Yes,
and
they
going,
did.
No, this is also can be feminized. As well, and that's why they're so important to queer culture and things like that. Also, modern day. So we've talked about BTS.
Yeah.
Five Seconds of Summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Little Aussie band.
Little Aussie band, yeah. Yes. And also I've put, I did mention One Direction.
Yes.
The only song that I can even palette, like put on my palette by One Direction.
I'm impressed.
Is a song called One Thing. And it goes, you've got that one thing, so get up, get out of my life. Yeah, yeah.
I remember someone, a friend of mine showed me Still My Girl.
Yes.
And I was like, that ain't nothing. But then I just started listening to it a lot.
Yes.
Like, it was like, I was going through a breakup. And she's like, seriously, listen to Steal My Girl. It's fucking great.
It is great.
And it's like, aww, everybody want to steal my girl.
Yes.
Everybody want to take her heart away. It's real pumpy. It's a pumpy tune.
And also, and they can sing. Like, I will give it to
they
them.
Can they can definitely sing. But I got to, like, it. I don't know if it's how much it is to do with not being part of that generation more that it's marketed to,
yes,
and it not being like my thing anymore.
Yep.
But it's like, I just feel like so many of the songs, they're just the same. Like, yes, I don't feel they any flavor the from yeah, them.
Yeah. Yes.
Whereas
exactly.
Backstreet, I did. But I don't know if that's like, I don't know. Well, it's hard to say like how influenced that is by my
I
own.
Think it's interesting to be a little bit older and look at it like from a complete third party who's not really interested in the marketing. So you
yeah,
go,
yeah.
Okay, so there has to be a reason why this is successful. It can't just be marketing.
Like, yes.
We do have a brain. We do know. It's not like subliminal messages in the music like on Josie and the Pussycats movie. Like,
yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah,
all that kind of like, it has to be more than that. So I listen to it and go, it's really just a still the usual boy band formula, but yeah, it's the music of the times as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And so some of the music of today, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, it doesn't really do it for me.
Am I now old?
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah.
So it's really, really interesting to like, see all the different phenoms that have happened in history and go, it really came down to the demographic. It truly, truly did, which is really, really cool. Well, they're all my choices and my honorable
mentions. Fantastic. I love it.
Beautiful.
All right, so we're going to take a short break before we come back with our favorite segment.
Woohoo! Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. Am I not supposed to talk?
No, you're fine.
I was just having a bit of a confusion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
What's our favorite segment? I don't know. It was like a way this day when we talked about it.
So our favorite segment. Well, sorry, it's actually.
I mean, I'm going to find out.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I think we did inform you to choose this, but you probably didn't realize how it was going to happen into the show.
Okay,
exactly.
So this is my favorite time of the week. It's Asabi's favorite time of the week, and that is.
It's a flop.
All right.
Okay,
we've obviously gone very extensive and talked about our favorite boy band songs all damn long, damn night long, whatever it is, all damn night. And now we also add three songs in this particular genre or movement or whatever you want to call it that we weren't vibing, we weren't feeling it, because with the good has to come with the bad.
The yin and the yang.
The yin and the yang. Mm. The sugar with the salt.
Mm.
Also the sugar
with the... baby
with the
bathwater.
The Nutella to the plastic wrapping.
Ew.
Getting super...
Yeah, okay.
Super meta. Stop. Yeah, exactly. I live metaphysically, and sometimes I'll say something and go, this is the right audience. It's not it. It's not right. No.
The salt to the caramel.
Which is great. So... I always ask my fellow chefologists, what their flop is. So we'll start off with Asabi so Grace understands what's going on.
Yes. All right. So we were just talking about this band, and I tend to mislabel them as Wrong Direction. I don't know. Just rolls
so
right off the tongue.
Bitch.
Yes. It just So One Direction, and the song that I'm choosing as my flop is What Makes You Beautiful. That song,
I agree.
Do you not agree that this beginning of the song sounds like Summer Nights from Greece?
A little
boom,
bit.
Boom, boom.
Yes.
Boom, boom.
Oh my God. It's just, I find
that's like the beginning of a Spice Girls song to Wannabe. Don't. But I don't know what it is about this band. I just don't like them. I mean, it's not that I don't respect them, because I respect every artist, obviously. Yeah. I
revere their success too.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not a huge Britney Spears fan, but God, I respect the hell out of her for what she's done.
I can't wait for the Britney Spears episode.
Right. I don't even know where I'm going with that. But I was struggling, because boy bands for me, all the ones that I know and love, that's just all I know and love. Mm. And I'm like, what boy band do I not like? And it took a minute before I was like, oh, because they're just completely not in my mind. But Yeah.
What One about direction. The song specifically? Do you have something about, or it's just like
I just don't like any of their stuff.
I find with that song, I remember, I think watching the film clip or something and being like
on the beach, yeah.
Yeah, is it on the
it's
beach?
It's on the beach, yeah.
And I was like, this is, I felt, I was like, this is embarrassing, the level of like low, like it's just,
it's
I
cheesy.
Felt like it was so obvious.
Yeah.
I was like, can't you see what's being marketed to you? So like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some songs like that where I'm like, that's not very well written to hide the point of the management. Like that's, I don't know.
That's true. That's but also I think there's a certain group of artists that took the rise of social media and ran with it and One Direction and their PR team is one of them. Lady Gaga's another one. Katy Perry's another one. Like there was a certain, like just was just of that time because 2000, this song came out in 2011, I'm pretty sure. And that was the rise of social media.
Yeah.
This is like pre-beauty influencer, like all that kind of stuff.
Yes, yes true.
Where,
very true.
You know, it was just like, it was so exciting that you could go on Twitter and just say, hi Zane.
Yeah, that's very true. You could talk to celebrities on Twitter.
Yeah,
like, I talked to Samuel L. Jackson once. It was freaking amazing.
I talked to Cheryl Lee Ralph one time. And
what?
I kid you not. And I said, you know, and I was in this like conversation thread with a couple of my other friends, and Cheryl Lee Ralph was in it because we had quoted Sister Act.
Yes, yes.
And I said, I ain't got no time. I've got no time for choir because I've got to go study. Bye.
Yeah.
And then she replied, going, if you butt mama me one more time. Which is her famous quote from Sister Act 2.
Yes.
So, you know,
amazing.
I was gagged that day.
Yes. You were like, study done.
Also, I think musically as well, like, it's because it's not a great, like, it's not great musicianship either.
No.
Also, you can tell that they probably don't even like each other that much. Like,
right. They
probably were just excited to be famous
like much
together.
Camaraderie or like, But then I probably would, I would say the same about Backstreet and NSYNC. Like, I didn't see anything that made me think that you guys are like a group.
Well, I think also that Backstreet Boys and especially, they were already a group before they were famous.
Yes.
Mm. One Direction were put together by the X Factor.
Yes.
That was
right.
The other thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great flop.
Yeah,
Wasabi.
Thank
Let's
y'all.
Move on to Gracie Mack. Don't
right,
turn
so
it back.
I discovered this segment 5 minutes before recording and I panicked. I panicked and I only have one thing, and it's not even a song, it's just anything by the Jonas Brothers.
Oh.
I just there's just something about them, to kind of what we were just speaking to with One Direction then, but just something about, maybe it's the treatment of Demi Lovato, I don't know.
Treatment of the Holy Trinity
this?
Of Disney, which is Demi Lovato, Miley Cyrus, and Selena Gomez.
Absolutely, just
like they all were dating
up,
someone or something. Yeah.
Oh right.
I did see this really funny. Like, I did think it was funny when they came back out and it's like they'd all had sex and taken off their purity rings. And
that's
it was like,
right.
Rebranding.
Oh,
we've had sex right. now.
And Nick Jonas would always like vomit his lyrics out like,
I think the vocal tone is the thing that really rubs against me.
Yes.
So just, I mean, it's very bitchy. But anything by the Jonas Brothers.
I cannot wait to put. So can I choose the Jonas Brothers song to put on the playlist?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Perfect.
And
all right.
Now, Joshua.
Now this may be shady because it's only Gracie Mack's first episode.
Oh,
but
boy.
One of her choices is also a flop for me as well.
Okay, it's fine. Look.
I'm so sorry, Gracie. Now, the...
Can I guess? But
yeah, please guess.
Is it Uptown Girl?
It sure bloody is.
One
of the worst covers in history, to be quite
you
honest.
You know what? I think that this is a first. I don't think we've ever... Like, we've chosen the same artist. Like, somebody's had on their list as a flop, but I don't know that we've actually...
Well, that's what I can bring to this podcast.
The song.
Asabi, I'm pretty sure you chose one of my songs as your flop.
Did I?
In the Michael Jackson episode, I was getting all emotional about his song called Childhood. I'm like, it's about the way he grew up and he was abused. All this and then Asabi next segment, I hate that song. Who cares if he didn't have a childhood?
You're right. I totally
He's
forgot.
Got millions of dollars. Fuck that. Like, oh, sorry. Oh, I said the F word.
Okay.
We'll bleep
okay.
that out.
From,
I'm so sorry.
From today,
I'm so sorry.
Our episodes are explicit.
Are they?
Yes.
Is that we're going to lose
Hopefully.
An audience?
No, I don't think so.
I'm so sorry to any kids. No kids listening
no
to this.
Kids
All right.
listen to this.
Beautiful. All right. So that's my flop. And,
Yay.
And of course, this ends another episode. Of Shuffology. Well, that's episode 11. No, 12, I'm pretty sure.
Episode 12,
We're in the double digits.
Yay.
Can we please also welcome and thank Gracie Mack one more time?
Thank us,
Scott. Yes. I'm so glad that you were able to make it for us.
Me just slotted in like a glove.
Exactly right. Alrighty, well, we're going to sign out. We've got Asabi Goodman.
Goodbye.
Gracie Mack.
Thank you so
much. My name's Josh Devetta. We are your Chefologists. Don't forget, you can reach out to us on social media, Chefology Podcast on Facebook or at Chefology Podcast on Instagram. You can also email us, chefologypodcast@gmail.com, and tell us your choices. Did we leave anything out? Most probably. press shuffle on the playlist and see if you like it as well. Give us all your thoughts. We love hearing from you. We've actually heard from quite a few of you the last couple of weeks, which is really, really cool.
Yes,
so,
thank you.
Keep on mentioning. Keep on talking. Sounds like fun. All right. Well, we're signing out. Thanks for coming into the lab. We'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.